All right, I'm going to call this meeting to order. All right, can we have roll call, please?
Robert Weinrock.
Here.
Tomas Boynton.
Right.
Present.
David Evans has resigned. Sharon Green is excused. Marie Dorsman.
Here.
Maria Hernandez is excused. Nina Hill. Elizabeth Bojadice. Myron Nagelberg.
No.
David Rafaitis. Millery Sinat is excused. Bobby Valentine. Clay Walker. Tessie Watts.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, our next order of business is to adopt the agenda for today's meeting, August 24th, 2017. Do I have a motion to adopt? Thank you, Mike. And a second?
Second.
Good. Okay, all in favor, say aye. Okay, we have unanimous. Okay, now I'd like to get a motion to approve the minutes from June 14th, 2017. Do I have a motion? Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it passes. Hey, we got those two big pieces of business out of the way. Okay, comments from the chair. I'm glad you all made it here today. I had a little inclement weather on the way up here. Someone told me there's a hurricane out there. So hopefully we won't have any problems up here. We're going to go through some items today, including a review of our bylaws and the grievance procedures, and that's basically all I have. So let's get moving on the agenda. First, we're going to have general public comments. I see we have one card from one of our individuals. Stanley, would you like to speak now, or do you want to wait on a particular item? Okay, would you go to the microphone, Stanley? You can't talk, Mike. I mean, Stanley, you have to be on the microphone. While we're waiting for Stanley to get to the microphone, why don't we have staff just introduce themselves for the record.
Good afternoon. Charlie Bodiger, Operations Manager at Palmtran Connection.
Rosanna Santana, Palmtran Finance.
Chad Ogman, Senior Manager, Palmtran Connection.
Lou Ferry, Operations Manager, Palmtran Connection.
Valerie Nielsen, Palm Beach MPO, Multimodal Manager.
Thank you very much. Okay, Stanley, it's your turn.
I have a question first. How many people should we have to have a quorum, to have the meeting? How many people do we have from besides you? One, two, three, four people?
We need four people. One-third of the board needs to be present.
One-third, not one-half?
No, one-third. It's in the bylaws. In fact, we'll be dealing with the bylaws today, Stanley.
Okay. My purpose in speaking now is that in talking to people about the transportation disadvantage program, many or even most people have no idea of who it serves, and the scope of the service being provided. There are statistics that you have in the handout or in the packet that in a very not complicated, detailed way. But I do want to emphasize the fact that to whoever is present here that the Transportation Disadvantage Program is really very troubled for a county-wide program, right, with not unlimited funding, but possible funding through Tallahassee. We only have 1,400 people who use transportation disadvantaged service on the weekdays. 1,400 people in the entire county for TD service. That's ridiculous. The fact of the matter is the service for TD that is not really spoken about is the service is marginal in that each month there are hundreds, and I mean hundreds of complaints about TD service. It's something that should be looked into by you board members. There's the cost of the service is extremely high because of the low ridership, and it's something that we hope that in the future will be improved with all of the new personnel that we have. But in the meantime, it's important to know that the vehicles are still averaging only 1.4 to 1.5 people an hour. And most of the vehicles, of course, hold 6 and 8 people to wheelchairs. There's also a lack of dissemination of any information about the TD service. There was a little bit in the old rider's guide, but that's extinct now. And even that rider's guide didn't have information on availability of bus passes, on income levels for people to get TD service. So there's a lot to be done and overseen by you board members. I have what could be a handout here as soon as I have it approved, and it just lists the people who are eligible for TD service. And most people out on the street, the people in need, don't know this.
Stanley, your 3 minutes is up. I've given you an extra 30 seconds, so can you wrap it up? Thank you.
With one speaker, with only one speaker, to offer 30 seconds.
I gave you 30 seconds.
I said to offer 30 seconds is almost insulting.
Thank you, Stanley. Well, we can comment. I was going to make several comments on your points, Mr. Boyce. Number one, be aware that this is not just a county program. This is actually in all 67 Florida counties. This is a statewide program that's being run. It's existing, and the availability of it is communicated online. I think that as far as the economics of it, it's never going to be a program that is going to be cost-effective compared to fixed route. And in fact, I think the executive director of PalmTran has made it clear that he is looking at ways of helping people use the fixed route system wherever possible so that we can help them more efficiently and more cost-effectively. By the very nature of the individuals who need this service, you're not going to be able to put 6 people in a particular a vehicle just because of the different schedules. And so I think that we have to accept the fact that this is not going to be the most cost-effective way to move people around the county, but we also accept the fact that we have to help people who are disadvantaged and make sure that they have the availability of these services. So that's my point. Anybody else want to respond? Yes, sir. Put your switch up right in front of you, that little green. There you go.
So complicated. I understand what Stanley's talking about, and I just want to, I feel as a representative that it's incumbent upon me to do some publicity about not only this board, but also what some of the responsibilities are. So I just want to make it clear for the record that I do mention this at the Office of Community Revitalization at the CCRT meetings, just about at every meeting. Also, the Citizens Advisory Committee on Health and Human Services, we've had presentations by Lewis and the director as far as everything that's happening, in, not only with this board, but other transportation mechanisms, in addition to presentations with the veterans and also with the HIV Council. So some of the responses I'm getting is that it's good for one time that the person needs that service, but they don't need it every day or they don't need it continuously. And so maybe that's just one feature in which to understand it's not something that some individuals are using every day. It's just that they're in need at certain times of their life. And but I just want to make sure that everybody understands that I'm, in addition to our department, the Community Services Department for seniors and others that may be in need of the service.
Thank you. Anybody else want to come?
Well, I do appreciate you being here, Stanley. You've always been a dedicated advocate for so many years. And one of the people that do really look at the math, and I mean, it is true, when you divide how much we spend on Palm Tran divided by how many people, it is a very expensive service. And I think that's one of the things that we need to always take into account, that we can't always, the budget can only go so far. But of all the seniors that I do interact with, they all seem to be cognizant of Palm Tran Connection and its availability. All the TD features, I don't think the public knows about, but I think in some reasons it's just because it's a very expensive service. I do think that Palm Tran has been looking towards, you know, working with TNCs. I mean, it's still its very infancy, so it's not something that's going to be solved this next year. But I think besides that, if we take a look at Palm Tran Connection versus our other people in the state, we're doing well with our numbers. I mean, it's not that it's outrageous. It's just an expensive service, and there's only so many people that we can serve in such a big county. So I do give my I do applaud Palm Tran Connection for all it does, while also hearing what you're saying, Stanley.
Thank you, Mr. Bolden. Any other comment? Okay, very good. Sure.
I'm sorry. And the other part, I don't know what effect Uber has or Lyft or anything else on transportation management, right? But I do know one or two people in my development that have used alternative sources versus TD, right? So that may have an effect on it.
And I think that's a point well taken. I mean, I just came back from a conference, Transplex, which is Transportation Planning Exchange. And one of the issues that's on the table right now is first mile, last mile, especially when you have fixed route systems, and Uber and Lyft and the alternate services are being viewed as a good companion to what is going on. And in some counties, they're actually paying Uber and Lyft to make those pickups rather than using their own vehicles. So I think that as we evolve and as these networks evolve, we're going to have greater opportunities to service people at a more modest fee. And I think that's, you know, I think that's the way we're headed. Okay, I think that's really talked out that subject. Our next item on the agenda is to take a look at our bylaws. And this is done on an annual basis. So item 2A in your package is a copy of the updated Local Coordinating Board bylaws, and they've changed the date from 2007 to FY 2018. And most of the changes in here are really just clerical. I honestly, on page 3, could not figure out what the change was on voting conflicts, because it seemed to be the same word twice, but I'm sure there was a change there somewhere. Maybe the period. I did see a period added. I do want to just make a point of directing the members of this board to Section E, which discusses ethical obligations. Unlike me as an elected official, you don't have to worry about a financial disclosure, but you do have the obligation of abiding by sunshine, and there are standards of conduct. So I would ask you all to make sure that you take a look at Section E, just to make sure that you don't run afoul of the ethical responsibilities of being on this board. As you go through the rest of this, you'll notice that really the major change was from chairperson to chair. So I've turned from a person to a piece of furniture. And that really seemed to be about it through here. So unless anybody has some comments, and of course we're changing the date on the day of the adoption to today's date in August 2017.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have motion to approve. Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor? Against? Okay, unanimous. All right, we're going to do the same exercise now for the Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board grievance procedures. And again, as before, we're just updating the document from 2017 to 2018. And my question for staff is, how come you didn't change chairperson to chair?
Which one would you prefer?
I'm happy to be a piece of furniture. I would say we should be consistent. And ordinarily, I would propose that we make those changes now. But if you do read this document, it says that the amendments have to be noticed 7 days in advance. So I'm wondering whether we should just put this off to next meeting, and then we can go ahead and change it to chair so that the two documents are consistent. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
If we could, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If we can vote on it now and just say that subject to the proposed amendments of chairman to chair or chairperson to chair, I'm fine with that. But if there was other modifications, I don't see why we would postpone it.
All right, we're going to get a legal opinion now of whether we can make any changes to this document or have to wait.
I think the intent of the legal notice provision is to advise the public of substantive changes so that they have an opportunity to provide input to the board prior to making its decision. This is not a substantive or material change.
You're comfortable with us making that amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Then can I hear someone make an amendment to change chairperson to chair as it goes through the document?
I make a motion throughout the document to change chairperson to chair.
Okay, second?
Second.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and now what? Yes?
I would like to note for the grievance procedure, we need 3 LCB voting members to serve on the grievance procedure committee, if that were to come up. So if we have 3 members that would be willing to do that.
Okay. Why don't we just finish the approval of the document, because we've approved the amendment. Now we're going to approve the document in total, and we'll come back to that. All in favor of approving, as amended, the document for the grievance procedures for our board?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Okay, we have unanimous. All right, if you would like us to solicit from our board 3 members who would be willing to serve? All right, I would be willing to serve. Anybody else want to put up their hand? We have a second over here. Third person going once. We have a third. Okay, you win. Okay, we have our 3 members.
Thank you.
I think Michael decided that he's going to pass on this. All right. We're breezing right through our agenda. It's now time for a review of the annual operating report. Does someone from staff want to make a... Why don't you come by the microphone, just so we keep it on the record.
I just had one other comment when you said someone wanted to pass. Was that that is a member of this committee? You need to actually cast a vote unless you have an impermissible conflict of interest.
And I think you misunderstood me. He didn't pass on a vote. He passed on volunteering to be a member of the LCB.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know that's what you're here for, to keep us out of trouble. Okay, does staff want to basically present the annual operating report?
Sure.
Okay. Go for it.
I'm going to have it up on the screen.
Is actually the full comprehensive report that will be submitted to the CTD. So it includes all information for the agency, including ADA trips, TD trips, and DOS trips that we provide. There is a summary sheet that just details TD information, and I can review that with the board if you'd like.
Please.
I'll put it up on the screen.
Nope, keep going. Keep going. Right there. So this is all the TD information that was reported to the CTD for their state fiscal year, July 2016 through June 2017. The paratransit trips that were completed for the year, we had 85,733 ambulatory trips, 11,066 wheelchair trips, and that's all service that's provided by MV First Transit and Maruti. And then we have our fixed route bus pass trips. Now, these are estimated trips that are calculated based on a conversion factor that TD sets. They assume that for every daily pass sold, that client will take one trip, and that for every monthly pass sold, that client will take 12 trips. So that calculation gives us our estimated bus pass trips for the year. So the daily passes, 182 trips, monthly reduced passes, which those are our $15 passes. We estimated 344,316 trips, and our regular pass at $20, 109,968 trips. Now, those trips, that totals up to 551,000 trips, and that's included in the overall comprehensive AOR report. Below is the expenses associated with running the CD program. Our operating expenses, which is the expenses associated with providing paratransit service for those ambulatory and wheelchair trips provided, is $3.7 million approximately. And the impact of us selling discounted bus passes compared to the full fare rate is a loss of revenue of $1.6 million to the county. So the total program expenses comes to about $5.3 million per TD. And then the revenue sources provided for funding the service, we get the trip and equipment grant from the CTD, which is approximately $2.9 million. We are required to provide a 10% county match of $326,000. And we have collected co-pays from our TD clients that ride our paratransit service of $226,000 approximately. And there is a overmatch that is provided to fund the program that it's unused. Funding comes from ad valorem dollars, and it's $1.8 million, and that's all the information associated with the TD program. Does anybody have any questions?
To the point that was made by the previous speaker, do we know an average cost per trip? Doesn't have to be exact.
Yeah. Approximately less than $20. I mean, we can have an updated amount on that.
All right, I'm just trying to, you know, see what neighborhood we're in. Yeah.
Is this for bus passes or combined with bus passes, or this is for TD Palm Train Connection?
This is bus passes and paratransit service.
Okay, because I think we really need to differentiate, because the paratransit service is more $52 a trip, and then I don't know what we would be averaging for the bus pass. So then... I saw the state numbers probably about 4 months ago, and then again, there's a difference between ambulatory and non-ambulatory with the...
Right, so the $52, I think that's round trip, right?
No, per way is what I, when I talk with the state.
Yeah, there's a difference of wheelchair, ambulatory, all right? Mm-hmm. Remember, if we're talking TD, you have to take the bus pass folks and the paratransit folks together for a cost. Because remember, we're using the more efficient and less costly fixed route for those that are under the poverty level and within the core area and that can use the bus. So for a true TD cost, it would be you would take the cost for a fixed route trip and cost for our trip and put it together.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's an average of, but I wanted to make sure you were aware that it is expensive.
We can get a better number for you probably at the next meeting if you want. But that's
yeah, I think that would be nice. And again, I accept what you're saying, that it's a broader definition. We're not just talking about physically disabled. We're talking about people below the poverty line that are having the advantage of this program. So, you know, bus passes, fixed route usage is part of the average. But if we could break that down by the various components, just so we can have an idea.
Mm-hmm. Another question? Sure.
Also, did you say the numbers of the 12 trips for the monthly and the one trip for the daily? Was that guidance from the state? Or
yes, those trip conversions are from the CTD.
Okay, because I remember previously it was almost like 50 trips per monthly bus pass, and it was significantly more per pass because
Yeah,
ideally, pass, you probably do more than one trip because around you're buying it for the day, you're going to at least use it twice. And if you have to do a connection, you're looking at four trips. So those numbers seem low, but I guess, you know, that's what the state guidance is.
And that was revised about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's been a big difference since then.
And the reason behind that was, remember, all the 67 counties share in the trip and equipment grant. However, not all 67 counties have a fixed route system.
Mm-hmm.
So because there's more trips, you draw down more money from the trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
So they reduced it so that the impact on the world would be, you know, mm-hmm. our funding wouldn't be as high as it.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the explanation.
Okay. Any more comments? Yes.
In reference to the collective CD copay, what is the number of clients that make the payment? And this is over a year, 1 year period, right?
I'm not sure specific numbers. I would have to go back and rerun that to find out the actual users. Because remember that they both travel. I mean, most people who are eligible for TD on paratransit services are also eligible for ADA. And so sometimes they transfer between funding sources depending on their pickup locations and areas. So we will have to sort out the unique users for TD. This is a paratransit. And we'll provide that next.
Yeah, and this is the fiscal year 2016-17. Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to look for a motion to approve the annual operating report, FY17. Do I have a motion? Thank you. Do I have a second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Okay, unanimous. Now we're going to go on to the annual operating report for expenditures. Would you like to continue?
Sure.
Okay.
And there's a summary after the sheet. This sheet doesn't really show. And this is pretty much the same data as the AOR because we're only showing TD information and expenses related to TD. So it's the same format, and it shows here the completed passenger trips for TD, 96,000, and the estimated bus pass trips, 454,000, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of the actual expenditure report, the CTD pretty much wants to know if we're receiving any additional funding for any of the service that we provide. We do receive federal funding of $360,000 to fund DOS trips, which those are trips that clients take to meal sites. So that's the only additional funding outside of the TD grant that we get to provide service.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Seeing none. Can I have a motion to approve the FY17 annual operating report for AER? Thank you. Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I think we get it unanimous. All right, now we're going to move on and I'm going to move on to the information items. First is going to be a staff update from the NPO staff.
All right. Good afternoon. So my name is Valerie Nielsen, and I'm filling in for Annie because she's no longer with us. She was the...
She's in Boca.
Yes. Boca stole her away from us. So, but we are in the process of hiring a new LCD liaison, a new planner who will be filling in for her. So I wanted to just provide a highlight of a few things. Let's see if this works from here. Let's get up. Okay, so I'm just going to provide a brief highlight over these items here, starting with just a reminder of the duties of the local coordinating board. So we're here mainly on an annual basis. We do the transportation disadvantage service plan. We also discuss safety concerns, eligibility, and other pertinent issues regarding transportation disadvantage service in Palm Beach County. And we annually do a CTC evaluation, so an evaluation of the TD service provided by the CTC, which is Palmtran, and we review price and service levels. So I wanted to mention on here that we would really like to hear from our board members as well. So at future meetings, if any of you would like to provide a presentation on your agencies and what you're doing, we'd be happy to add that onto the agenda, and that way we can collaborate more amongst each other and share some of the initiatives that we're all working on, just to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I understand it. You want a presentation from me about what our department does concerning transportation disadvantage?
Just what your department does, and you know, if there's anything related to transportation disadvantage, if you know, it might be of interest to the rest of the board members. But just kind of hearing from each other what we're all working on, just a brief highlight if you would like to share, so we hear from each other as an information item at future meetings.
So through our senior services division, you would like perhaps information about how many people are using the service?
Yeah, or just an overview of what your agency does, so like an introduction.
Oh, just sharing. Okay.
Yeah,
this is what our department's about. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. All right.
Because I brought that up because what I'd like to do is there's a lot of new members. So like Tess might not know that you have something that her service might be able to use.
I talked about her on the way coming here.
There you go. but you know, just so you guys can share some ideas, because you guys meet quarterly. However, there's some new members that maybe, you know, Mike talking about his experiences and going to the VA could help FDOT say, you know what, somebody just asked that question. And just so you guys get to know who's on the board and what your role is according to transportation.
Okay,
what
so you want to basically a dog and pony show about our department.
Ms. Nielsen, one of the things that, again, was brought up by our speaker before was the fact that not a lot of people know about these services. I'm wondering what the MPO can do to try and disseminate information about this to make more people who are qualified know that there is an opportunity to utilize the service.
Sure. Currently, we try to promote the program, or we have information about it on our website and advertise these meetings publicly in the newspaper. But we were, and I'll talk about it in a little bit, the TDSP, but as we were looking at examples around the state, we did come across some brochures of other agencies that provide TD service, and so we were talking with PalmTran on potentially doing a brochure like that. So similar to what Stanley mentioned earlier, having kind of a more focused TD only, you know, brochure, informational brochure, maybe that would help, you know.
And again, you know, as I stated before, I mean, I understand there's a balance here, and we certainly don't want to be promoting the service to people who could use fixed route,
mm-hmm.
because obviously more people who use the fixed route, it's more economical. You have more service for more people.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if there are people who really do need the service, there is no alternative, we want them to know about the service.
Sure. And the MPO is also looking, getting ready to start a transit access study, so that first mile, last mile to transit, to try and improve those connections for all users as well. So we're working towards that to improve the access to fixed route service for more people.
Terrific. Any other comments from the board?
Well, I said this before, I'm just going to reiterate, when we do these literature panels that go out, I do think we need to make sure we include the transportation network companies. Because if you live in Boca or Del Rey and you need to see your podiatrist, it could cost, with a TNC, $5. People are going to pay that extra $1.50 to have that convenience of a transportation network company pick them up when they need to go, when they need to go home. They don't need to do it the day ahead of time. So instead of just publicizing what we have, make sure that we give that other option there so that people might sign up for that and just kind of bypass the county altogether.
Very good. Any other comments? Okay. You have any more staff update there?
Yeah. So, and we'll provide this PowerPoint online, but basically this is just a highlight of our timeline for this year. So we have this fiscal year that we just started. We have 4 meetings. Our next one will be in October, and then in the third quarter in February, and the fourth quarter in May. At this meeting, we're looking at the AOR, AER, the bylaws, the grievance procedures. At the next meeting, we'll bring the TDSP major update, which we're working on now with PalmTran. And then at the third meeting, we have LCB member training, the public hearing, we'll start the CTC evaluation, and then bring it back to the board in May. So I just wanted to give a brief overview of this new fiscal year that we're getting started on. I mentioned the TDSP major update. We're working on that now with Palmtran, and we'll bring it in October. So I also just wanted to highlight that the 25th annual CTD workshop is happening next week in Orlando. So staff from both agencies will be attending, and we'll provide an update on that at the next meeting.
Yeah, I saw that online today. It looks like a very interesting set of workshops.
Yeah.
Very interested to see what you come back with.
Okay. Also, here's the website in case anyone's interested in attending or for more information. Just wanted to provide a brief recap. I know we've been keeping the board up to date with the US-1 multimodal corridor study. This is a 42-mile study to connect multimodal facilities, improve access to transit. It's the highest transit ridership route in the county currently. So it crosses, our study crosses 14 communities. So we're extending, looking all the way up from Boca Raton to Jupiter, and looking to improve transit service and connect the bike ped facilities. We're also doing a health impact assessment, so bringing in our health partners from different health organizations, hospitals, and getting in their input to look at other factors that aren't always looked at in transportation studies. So crash data for bicycle pedestrians, chronic illness rates, obesity rates along the corridor, economic development, access to healthy foods, jobs, education, and so forth. So we're working on that, and we'll keep you guys posted. Currently, the timeline for this project started in the spring. Currently, we're in public outreach doing workshops and charrettes along the corridor through October. And then in the winter, we'll finalize the report and bring it back to the public in the spring of next year. This month, we are focusing on section 4 of the study. There's 6 sections totals. So right now, we're in West Palm Beach. There's going to be a workshop this Saturday and an open studio charrette Monday through Wednesday in the city of West Palm Beach. So everyone's welcome to attend, participate, and learn more about the study. And next month we'll be in Revere Beach and North Palm Beach, and then October we'll be in Northern County, so covering Palm Beach Gardens all the way to Jupiter. And if anyone would like to know more, you can visit the project website. Presentations to date are on there, and so are the flyers available in Spanish, Creole, and English for each section. That's pretty much it for now. So if there's any questions.
Very good. Any questions? All right. Yes.
Under the health improvement.
Health impact assessment?
Right. I've been working on a food pantry study. I'm not sure if everybody else knows about that. Do you know about that?
I have heard about it. I know that a couple of the members on our board have mentioned it with United Way and some other partners, so it might be different or
correct.
Might be related.
So we've drilled it down to the census tract level as far as the food pantries,
okay.
The location, the number of individuals being served, and also one of the issues is how the individuals are receiving their food, by how are they obtaining it, what type of transportation, and how far is it from there. That there's going to be a presentation about this at the GIS Expo on September 27th and 28th, I believe, at the South Florida Convention Center. I'm sorry, the Palm Beach County Convention Center. And I can forward you the date and time that it's going to be there. I'll be one of the presenters, but
can you disseminate that to the board when you receive it?
Sure.
Yeah, and it's also free, so there's no charge for it. Okay.
Free is good. Okay. If there are no more questions, we'll move on to agenda item 3B, which is the CTC update.
Okay. I'll give a quick update on what we've been working on at Palmtran Connection. We finished our map upgrade to our commercial map last month, and then we also did our conversion to street routing. In that process, we have learned that some of our settings for the back end on the scheduling portion of it need to be adjusted. It obviously was not the quick fix that we were hoping that it would be, but it was also glaring that we needed to change our speed factors, some load analysis times. So we are in the process of doing that and working through this, and it will also be an assessment that will be done from a trapeze and then also possibly an outside company to come in, because it's such a big project to make sure that Once Trapeze was installed originally, the settings in the back end have not really been updated, and things have changed. Traffic patterns have changed. Time, so and the ridership has changed. So we're not where we want to be, but we're making good headway, and we're getting ahead of those situations. So we're excited about some of these, getting some outside resources to come in now and help us clean up the back end settings of Trapeze, the load factors, the travel times, the speed factors on the segments of the new map. So we're excited about that. And I think that's going to take probably 3 to 4 months, honestly, to do all that. But it is basically just looking at Trapeze from the beginning of when it was started and implemented, and then how we're going to do it today and how we're going to make those work.
Is this going to have an impact on the timetables, or how's that going to work?
It shouldn't have an impact on the timetables. I think we're in the process of doing that, and we've got a health check from Trapeze already scheduled, so that seems to be moving along. There's a few other things, a few other updates that we're working on with Trapeze, and then possibly another module that I'm looking at for comparable travel times versus the fixed route as a new module. And that was something that came out of our FTA audit. So a lot of developments moving, a lot of moving pieces. So I'm trying to keep all those moving. But I think realistically, by fourth quarter of this year, we'll be done with all those assessments, and we should be fine-tuned and then running to the way we need to be running, and know that all those settings and systems and things in the back end are correct, because it has caused our on-time performance to drop, and that was the reverse effect of what we thought it was going to happen. But the problem was that the speed factors were way too fast for the system, and so once we implemented it, we crashed. And we had all kinds of problems. So we've spent a lot of time. Trapeze came in and helped us. We're back to some stabilization of the system. But honestly, right now, when school started, we're having the same issues again. And we'll talk about the schools here in a little bit. But we're well aware of what's going on, and we're making an action plan to fix it. It's just not something that can be fixed overnight. But the network and the mapping on the MDTs is more complete. The street routing and the streets are more complete streets than we've ever had before. So that's good. We just need to clean up the back end of it. So we're making headway. You touch one thing, you got to fix 20 others. So
is this information being used for feedback to the riders? Are they getting on the app a way of finding out when the buses are going to arrive?
So Lou will give a quick update on PassWeb.
Yes. Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. So the PassWeb, I actually have 20 different riders, caregivers, even a nurse from a dialysis center, also someone from another center that we have, are using the PassWeb. Actually, three of them are in the crowd now. So they're booking trips. They are checking on their rides, checking on their information, canceling trips and things like that. We have seen a couple different bugs, just because when the users are using it, it's different than when I'm testing it at my desk. So I actually have I'm going to be with Trapeze tomorrow to meet with it. I'm hoping to start rolling it out within the next month or two to everyone. So the tracking really helps, because you could see where I think some of you saw the demo of it, or I can bring it to the next meeting if you want, and I can do it
here. Why don't you bring it next meeting?
So we could do that. But it actually shows where the bus is located, and it shows you within 30 minutes of your window where that bus is. So if I'm in Boca, and the bus is on Linton and Military, and it's heading south, that's a good thing. Right. It's heading north. Well, why is it going north? So you can actually see that the vehicle's come on its way. It'll show you the estimated time. Then when you're on the vehicle, it'll show you when you're going to be dropped off at your next trip as well. And then you can book trips, cancel trips.
Is there an opportunity to book trips in a shorter duration, so that if there's, to the point we have vehicles going around with capacity that don't have riders on them? So, but I guess right now they have to put their reservation 24 hours ahead?
Right now it's 7 days in advance, or by 5 o'clock the day before they wish to travel.
It's so
same day right now.
Once you have this web utility, would there be an opportunity to basically, go on and grab a ride that's already out there?
possibility we can look into it. Except right now, we're having capacity issues with the amount of vehicles we have on there now and the amount of trips, especially during peak hours.
Right.
So right now, it's very difficult for us to accommodate same-day trips. So really, right now.
I'm just looking for greater efficiencies, if there's any possibility of, again, if someone's out there doing a ride from Boca to West Palm Beach, and someone in Del Rey is going to go to West Palm Beach and doesn't throw off the routing of the first person, you know, that's something that would, again, reduce the cost of that trip by half.
Right. It's something we'll look into. We're also looking into, you know, getting with PNCs or taxis and all that too for those same-day trips. That would probably work out best for us.
Is that going to be part of the web application?
Not the web application, but it's something we're looking at in the near future to see how we can implement that here in Columbus County within our system.
Great. Any other questions from the board? Okay.
Any other stats or updates?
All right, we're ready to go on to item C, the CTC evaluation status report.
Okay. So we have gone through and updated the items that we have some new updates on. So this key recommendation was to be able to file complaints online or via email, other acceptable methods. And so we're looking at, with the new Pass Web, you'll be able to file a complaint or put a concern in and provide feedback that way. And then we're also looking at creating an online complaint form in which the people can submit complaints that way. So it's not just by phone. And so we're in the process of designing that and trying to get that up on our website. And that's part of one of the things that we want to do for not just the TD trips, but also our ADA trips and our DOS trips.
Is there a standard as far as what the feedback is supposed to be back to the complainer as far as how long it's supposed to take to receive some response or acknowledgement?
That's one of the internal processes that we're trying to work through, especially because the complaints department is separate from connection and separate from the fixed routed. So we're working with Charles Frazier and his team to figure out exactly how we're going to address that and the timeliness of those. But once again, I want to be able to give them people opportunity to provide feedback on the services.
I know, but there's nothing more frustrating than giving feedback but not receiving.
Not receiving anything back, yes.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Can I add, maybe you should just explore having an icon on that webpage or anything. So instead of having to call and all, you just press the damn button and I have a problem, right? And it's voice done, and so, however, and just have a little drop down saying, you know, here are our top five things or whatever it is, and a contact number. I mean, it's not rocket
right
scientist stuff. It's just make it easy, make it simple for the person, and be done.
Yeah. Great suggestion.
Yeah, right now they have the email of our senior customer service representative on there, and he does receive emails of concern, but an icon is good.
Okay, Mike.
One of the problems on complaints has been that from the beginning on, they were using a form which had a limited number of lines. Which had a limited number of lines on it to put the actual complaint in, so that the resulting complaint often did not reflect the problem at all. I know in my case where I know where things are happening and why things are doing, I could not get them to put in, so we don't have room for it when they get the thing on it. Are they still using that old form on it?
Mr. Nagelberg, we're no longer using the form. The information that the staff takes can be expanded until the point is actually made in terms of what your exact complaint is. And additionally, the response, if it takes as long as it takes, it's all included on the same document. So it has been expanded to include all that.
Well, hopefully it will help in the final result, because one of the reasons that so many people have stopped complaining is with the utility of complaining and getting no results at all. They gave them an answer that was so ridiculous that they just said, forget it. I hope there's an improvement in the performance effectiveness of the complaint department.
Thank you, Ms. Nagelberg. Any other comments? Okay.
Okay,
I continue.
Sure. The next slide, school bus is not currently being utilized in the coordinated system. We've actually tried to look at school buses, and they just don't fit in with our coordinated system in the power transit-wise. We've tried to work with them. The school system is the number one purchaser of bus passes in Palm Beach County, which is a good thing, so we have them utilizing the pickup bus. Just within the coordinated system and as far as the CTC and power transit-wise, we just can't get that going. However, we are working with Ann Stork and the mobility management facilitation team to try and figure out this charter school and private school students. They might speak to that. They're going to speak to me later, and I'm going to be talking about charter schools a little later as well. So that's the update on that one. The TD service not available on 7 holidays throughout the year. Actually, we just finished a 3-day session about route performance maximization project, which they are talking about what they can do to increase holiday service or service later at night and things like that, and the whole fixed route system unto itself. So that's something that's being considered, and I know it's a very big thing for our executive director, Ben Forbes, who thinks we need that as well.
We just completed a 3-day workshop looking at the route performance maximization. Interesting enough, as most of it was focused on fixed route, there were quite a bit of discussion on paratransit as well. So we're looking at synergies. We're looking at how we can provide. We're looking at two alternatives, increased ridership versus coverage. And that's going to be presented by the Palm Tran team and the consultants in the very near future. And it'll be very clear as to some of the recommendations that we're looking to make. It was a very, very, pretty much, I would say the entire management team of Palm Tran participated, as well as MPO was there, the planning department of Palm Beach, the engineers of Palm Beach County, they were all there. So just a phenomenal session. So expect some great things.
Yeah, I mean, one of the subjects we've had at the Palm Tran Service Board, my conversation with Mr. Forbes, has been how we can make the fixed route more elastic. So that it can respond to the needs of basically changes in traffic, whether it's holidays, baseball games at the stadium, whatever that's going to change the riding patterns. And certainly if you're able to add buses at times when they're needed, it's going to make people more willing to use public transportation. Okay.
So to continue, the next finding or suggestion was that we're not currently having an arrangement with the Wages Coalition. I actually met with them in November to try and see how we can work with them. There is supposed to be someone on the board from Career Source or Wages or anything like that. They're not here today. However, really the only thing that they wanted was free bus passes or free trips for those trying to get interviews. So I tried to work on it. It's just difficult to give away free stuff. So I was trying to work on something where maybe we could provide a bus pass, a 1-day bus pass to get them through from their first interview. And then the rest is on them, kind of, as a compromise. So I'm still in talks with them to try and figure out how that would work.
That sounds like a great program.
Something like that. All right, the next slide.
The next slide talks about the findings, and so some of these goals that were put together were increasing public transportation ridership on a goal of 25%, and that was on fixed route. It wasn't connection. On-time performance is connection. Complaint ratio is connection, and then the call hold times was connection. And so we're still in the process of addressing these. As I spoke to earlier, it's some of the measurable goals that we're looking at and some of the internal things that we need to clean up still, as well as the reason why we had said that some of this will not be resolved until first quarter 2019 is really because of the RPM and some of the proposed changes they're looking at for the fixed route service. So on-time performance will continue to be a goal of ours, and improving on-time performance, both pickup and drop-off, making sure that our customer complaints are within the ratio, and then, you know, monitoring our hold times for our reservation center.
Right.
So,
just real quick, yes. The increase on public transportation, again, maybe it's not Vote of Right, we had this last year as well. That is for us to take more people, power transit, and put them on this route. But you can see, we utilize the bus pass program pretty well with the TD program, and we have the ID for the ADA program. So we do shift a lot of potential power transit users to this route. And then the call hold time, I just wanted to tell you that for the last 3 months, we're under the 3 minutes, actually under 2 minutes, two months, and a little over two minutes the last month. So we would actually achieve that goal now. So that's it.
The next one is an issue with riders sit on the vehicles for hours, passing, poor routing and long trips. And so once again, it's improved trip optimization, which we're currently working on, by all the things that we had discussed with the map upgrade and the MDT upgrade, and then moving to street routing. And then knowing that we also still were not where we need to be is fixing those other issues with trapeze. So having trapeze and then possibly seeking some additional training from MTM. I'm not sure if you are familiar with Heather Picard, who was here as the interim director, but her agency and company did an assessment of trapeze, and we have a list of things that we are in the process of looking at and maybe possibly contracting back with MTM or having MTM come in and provide training to do this. And we're looking for something to be completed by the fourth quarter of 2017. So we're definitely, it's on the radar and something that we know we need to address pretty quickly. And then callers are on hold too long. Lou just updated you on the reservation time, but then also getting out past web is really the goal for the fourth quarter, and making sure that we publicize that and we roll that out the right way and get a lot of people hopefully using it and booking trips, because it really is, and monitoring their trips. It really is a great way to see what's going on and be able to control your trip on a daily basis. So we're giving that power back to the riders. And that is it for the CTC evaluation update.
All right, we have one card from Mr. Rothman. He'd like to actually discuss PassWeb. Mr. Rothman, would you please come forward?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Please give your name.
Okay, my name is Martin Rothman, and I wanted to talk about the PassWeb a little bit. The PassWeb is going to be used by people who are disabled a lot. And within our midst, we have some experts at the Lighthouse, okay, who I showed the PassWeb to, and they have some comments, okay. They would like to speak to the web developer to review certain comments to make it more assistive. To those who are disabled, and I wonder if PalmTran Connection has plans to speak to them. There is no charge, so you really have a bargain here, and I can tell you that they're real good.
I actually emailed her yesterday, and so I'm waiting for her response, Rachel. So I'm waiting for her to get back to me.
Okay, yep. Because she had told me the other day that she doesn't want to send you copies of the web pages. She wants to talk to the person who developed it, because she'll be able to communicate with them quicker to make the changes.
Yeah, what I'd like to do is invite her in when we have what is called a WebEx, when we have everything up, and she can comment on that, and the developers will be on the other line trying to fix it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rolfe. All right, let's continue. We finish with the evaluation status report.
Yes.
Okay.
The next one is about school trips. So this is just from last week. So when we say that school trips affect us, this is kind of maybe the impact of what you can see. So I'm going to go to the second slide first. So the total trips from last week, and I'll dig down a little bit. So we had 988 trips just to charter schools last week, 492 to private schools, and 205 trips to public schools. Okay, and what that breaks down into
is Gulfstream Goodwill. We actually transported, had 348 trips just to that one school. The L Center way up in Jupiter, if you guys don't know where that is, that's even north of Indiantown, so it's as far as you can go north. 216 trips. Palm Beach School of Autism, 194. Atlantis, 133. ARC, 132. Exceptionalities, Potentials, over 100. So this just shows, this is how many trips we take just last week to schools, mostly charter schools. Now, we talked about it last meeting, and again, we're experiencing it this year, where the schools are not really allowing us to use the bus loop. We have a window. They want us to have a 15-minute window. We have a 30-minute window. They can only let the students out at 2 o'clock, but they want them to be gone by 2:15. So we have a lot of difficulties with schools. We have sometimes a bus is sitting there for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. That kills the route right there. We are actively going through a meeting with schools, principals, trying to get people that this is not a public school thing, so we can't go to the school board and say we have a problem. Charter schools, unfortunately, don't have to, by law, do not have to provide transportation. The transportation is actually the responsibility of the parent or the user, you know, the child. So if it's an ADA trip or TD trip and they're eligible, they're disabled, most of them are disabled, not low income. If they choose to use our service, we can't deny the trip, of course, for ADA. And right now, currently, we do not do trip limits or prioritize trips on TD. So we have to provide that trip. So it's very difficult for us to provide these trips to the schools. So
and
Charlie's folks and Charlie, we've been trying to meet with the principals, try to get them to understand our problems, our plight, so to speak. And to be honest, some of them don't care. Some of them care.
I'm assuming they don't have anything to do with the reimbursement for the trip. It's coming.
It's a $350 copay for the user. Another problem that is within this that we're going to try and get the help with the mobility management facilitation team is we have routes where there has to be PCAs on it because we have children under 8. So, I mean, that's not really the service we're supposed to provide. Each kid should have a personal care attendant themselves, mm-hmm. not just one on the vehicle. We try to be as efficient as possible to multi-load as well as we can, but if everyone's going to the L school in the Indian town and you're in Boynton, and there's 5 in Boynton and 2 in West Palm and Lake Worth, and they don't want to be on the vehicle for 3.5 hours. But truly, that's a really long trip.
Right.
So we don't have a contract with those schools. It's just a public service, correct?
It would be like any of us in this room wanting to take an ADA trip or a TD trip to a destination. The destination just happens to be a charter school or a public school.
So is there any way that possibly we could collaborate with another private system to say that we will be there between X time and X time? If the client is not there, then this other system will transport them.
These are public transportation trips. These are registered riders in the ADA service, and you know, we try to encourage that we can't be everything to everyone, especially when we were setting up these trips. As parents were calling to book these trips for their schools, we tried to lay out our expectations and tell them, you know, these are what your child is going to experience. There's a possibility that your child could be on the bus for 3 hours from Indiantown back to Boca, and there's not a whole lot that we can do about it. I can't send 16 buses up there at one time to go all different places in the county. We're hoping, and you know, maybe at some point, if public transportation is not the solution for them, that maybe these parents would get together and talk about doing some sort of contracted transportation with another agency that could provide the services as dedicated as they're needing. But right now, we're trying to meet the needs. I'm not so sure that we can do that. But
are the students not getting there because of school, or is it because of their you know, they can't get out of the classroom to get to be transported, or I'm trying to figure out what is the issue of why someone's not at a place of destination on the proper time.
So, David, the challenges are unique to each individual school with respect to each of those schools' operation. So for one of them, that we bring 5 and 6 buses a day till in the afternoon, the driver has to go in, announce him or herself, tell the receptionist who he or she is there to pick up, and those individuals could be in different classrooms. And intercom is then, the receptionist will then call via intercom to the classrooms, alert the teacher or teachers of the driver's presence to pick up these individuals, and only then will they send them downstairs. Their claim that they won't stage them downstairs is because all those kids waiting in one particular location will cause a behavioral problem for the children. They don't have the staff to monitor them. So that becomes our burden when the drivers get there. I've had staff at this one school 5 times since school's opened, and I can tell you on average we've been there for 25 to 45 minutes. We've got other schools that we deal with that move flawlessly. But again, the volume of people at those schools isn't as great as this one school I'm speaking of.
So what you're saying is that there may be some... So the issue is that some students may be on this bus for 3 hours and someone else...
Well, we're just talking about the driver just getting them on the vehicle. We haven't even left yet. We are in the parking lot waiting to load 3 and 4 students for upwards of 30, 45 minutes. We haven't even gotten them all on.
And I'm just saying, you know, that there's additional complications I see, obviously, is like people have to go to the bathroom, yep. There's the disruption and all that kind of stuff, let alone the attitude. And then the stress that's on the driver,
yes, sir,
in which the transport or it just seems like there's has to be some other alternative.
So, again, we bring this up to the points of contact at these various schools. And like I said, each one operates individually. And we get told a myriad of different reasons. Again, behavioral is one of them. The other thing we ask them for is, Adeem, can you stage them like I said? We don't have the staff for it. So again, we run into all kinds of obstacles. So, you know, when you look at the big picture, there's really not a big partnership that's there. They just treat us like, okay, here they are. And so what we're trying to do is break those obstacles down and go through an education process with them that says, hey, part of the issue that happens after all the teachers go home is these drivers are still, you know, moving throughout the county trying to get these kids at home. And is it truly fair to them to be on that vehicle for that period of time? Is there any way to help expedite these things? Again, and then it gets back to the goal of our internal efficiencies when we talk about on-time percentage, waiting time, and all that stuff.
And there's drivers that have to wait in the bus line with cars. Imagine being 15 cars back with a big truck, you know, with our vehicle there waiting until we get there to pick them up. Now, with some of these long trips, you know, 350 each way is pretty attractive to the parents. The other thing is we need to be picked up at 6:30 because I got to get to work. I don't care if they get to the school at 7 o'clock. The school doesn't open till 8. I need them picked up at this time because I need them out. So we have lots of operational issues that are included in this as well that we're trying to work through. And it's a struggle every year with the school. So
that sounds like it's a real challenge. And unfortunately, like you said, you're not working through the school board, so you don't have a central authority that you can go to.
I think this is very similar to the situation that we had all along with the dialysis centers, where they would screw up the schedule for every other person, and what they were trying to do was take something and a private enterprise and try and utilize these funds, because we're faced with where people have no other alternative, to throw the cost onto us, and the devil take the hindmost, and we have to disrupt our system completely for the benefit, so they don't have to have their own buses. And the same thing happened with dialysis.
That was something we talked about in the past with the board about dialysis and nursing homes as well. because they do get a component in there for transportation. Unfortunately, if we handle it again, if that user wants to take our service, it's an ADA trip or a CD trip.
Those problem concerns on custom service, irrespective of what it costs or affects our whole system, if they want it because it's money to them that they don't have to lay out. It's that simple.
Yes.
Well, has there been any effort to get the parents involved? The ones, especially at the school where you're having these major issues, what type of parent meetings, community meetings, that have you made an effort?
So I actually, one of the big problems for the L school, I didn't say there was 216. So the L school went from about, I guess, what, 6 kids that went last year to now a whole bunch of them, because the Renaissance Learning Center that used to be on down in West Palm Beach moved to L's campus. Everyone's seen it. It's an amazing place. I went to the kickoff meeting in L's, and the principal said, I know it's 26 more miles, but okay, Pontrain Connection will do it. Just call them, and they'll take you the rest of the way. We'll figure it out with them. So that's the thought process with them. If we're talking about they serve those that are, you know, kids that are autistic. They're going to be eligible for our service. And these are high school kids. So if they choose to take an ADA trip or a TD trip, we can't deny it. So we have to just try and be as efficient as possible. And just so you know, what would create a 3-hour trip is we'll try and pick up 6 people from the L Center going south to Lake Worth to Boynton. But if we have 3 drop-offs in Lake Worth, so you know how big Lake Worth is, then 2 more in Boynton, that one in Boca, it's going to take a long time to get there. And then we get the call to say our kid was on the vehicle too long.
But to me, it's not Pontrain that's violating the kid's ADA rights, and it is the school. So to me, I would think that the parents need to get involved and make sure that their kids' rights are being taken care of. So involve them, get them involved, so they'll understand, like, look, we have to sit here and wait 45 minutes to get your kid. That shouldn't be the case. Those kids have rights. They can leave their classes a few minutes early just to get from one class to the next class. Do you mean to tell me they can't leave early enough to get to their bus so they can make it home at a reasonable hour? So I think it's time to get the parents involved on this. And it sounds like you're going to make the effort. Because the principals aren't listening to you all. So maybe they'll listen to the parents when it comes to their kids' rights.
Whose responsibility is the PCA? Do we as an agency, or is that the parent?
The parent would be. I mean, for the high school kids, they don't need the PCA because they're old enough. Actually, with the younger kids, we came up with an idea where the parents actually meet at a location, and the school actually provides the PCA as a teacher. So at least we have someone that's trained and that's on the vehicle and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. That was a good partnership there. With all of our trips, a lot of our trips, and this is even a bigger discussion, Alzheimer's, our HAD trips, our HAB Center trips, a lot of them need PCAs but don't have PCAs.
Well, it's clear that this is not going to be a problem that's solved within the agency. You know, it's our partners that we need to be working with.
Correct.
And my closing remark is I agree with the chair, but I really believe the burden now is on the school district. If the school superintendent says you will do the following about letting the children
he's
out.
Unfortunately, so the Dr. Vosa doesn't have any ability to do that.
He's kind of
well, through the board, whoever.
I think they have their own problems with charter schools already. That's
all right, but it still comes out to be, look, this school, the principal, whoever's in charge, can allow these students to be out 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is. Because of this situation, and if the directive is given that way, part of the problem is solved. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't talk to the parents or anything like that, but it's like it's going to come administratively down because it's affecting, obviously. I would be furious if my child was on a bus for 3 hours and I've had other issues in which to address, not only talk about food and eating and taking care of the dog and all that kind of stuff, but why? The other, I want to say, non-handicapped children are not on there for 3 hours. So why is my kid on there for 3 hours? Because you can't let them out for 2 minutes? So anyhow, I'm off my soapbox.
So from a performance standpoint, you can see how this is affecting on-time performance. You can see how it affects customer concerns, the amount of customer complaints we get. You can see how it affects pretty much a lot of the metrics. So what would, in addition to the staff looking at it, the PT stat, the process improvement team, I can tell you that we've had a lot of discussion, not only about the charter schools, but also about the HAB centers and the delays that are coming up. We made a field trip, the entire on-time performance team, to the Palm Beach HAB Center to address similar issues. Regarding the charter schools, there have been a lot of discussions around a open house where you have all the parents there and we explain the dilemma that we're in. But there's some real challenges here because, as the staff has said, it's not like the public school system where you have a director or a board that you can go to and it affects all the schools. These charters, they all operate independently. So it's going to take some community education. One of the teams is actually looking at developing a specific brochure with the right information on it that says, when this happens, this is what happens in terms of performance or in terms of delay of getting your child home. So it's going to be an educational campaign that we're looking at, some open houses. We also talked about at the beginning of the school year, just like everybody's talking about back to school, that maybe we host something where you invite all the charter school parents and whoever will come from the charter school, and we talk about, you know, this dilemma. So part of the communication and education, we hope if we sort of up the ante on that, that it'll begin to sink in and we'll be able to make some improvement. But it's a very, very difficult issue. It's affecting all the methods.
This is really something draining the resources.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Let's go on to the Task Force on Transportation for Disadvantage.
So the Task Force on Transportation Disadvantage Services, the transportation...
Yeah, that's fine.
But the this was actually created by a senator in legislation, Section 13 of Senate Bill 2502. This year, the legislature actually created the Task Force on Transportation Disadvantage Services to examine the design and use of services for individuals with disabilities, specifically developmentally disability. So I have a scope of work here that I included just to go over real quick. They are going to examine and provide an overview of the design for the system of transportation services for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities in the state of Florida. On a state, nation, national level, identify best practices and provide an overview. Determine methods to incentivize transportation providers, particularly in the rural areas. Identify problems, level of needs, gaps in the current transportation system. Determine the costs associated with the policy on four funding options identified in the report. And then provide information on the methods of delivery of training for intellectually or developmentally disabled consumers of transportation services in Florida. So I attended a meeting on August 2nd in Tallahassee. Actually, Miami-Dade, Pinellas, and Alachua County actually spoke and gave an overview of what they do for those that have developmental disabilities. Miami-Dade talked about how extensive their system is, it being the largest in the state. Pinellas actually talked about that first and last mile, that they're using the TNC. And Alachua is actually interesting because it's three counties, small counties. I mean, it was funny for me to watch it because they're saying that their population is 28,000 people. it's like, wow, okay, that's like not even a city here. So it was interesting to see how they deal with the specifically with the Med Waiver Program, Medicaid Waiver Program for the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. So APD, Agency for Persons with Disabilities, Developmental Disability Council also did a presentation. So ultimately, the Center for Urban Transportation Research will be performing a study for this, and I wanted to make sure you guys just know about it. And also,
is there any way to incorporate in this the discussion we just had about the charter schools?
Actually, I talked to the task force and spoke.
to talk to the chair and talked about the schools and the charter schools that we have. It's Cutter's going to be looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a feeling that they're really looking to help the rurals because they could see that in comparison to Hendry County or something like that, we are eons beyond them about the service that we provide. But we're definitely going to have a hand in trying to help them, or at least give them our perspective about it.
Right, great.
Okay, so I just want to give you an update on that, and I'll let you know. I think we've provided when the meetings are, just to let you guys know and all that.
Board, any comments on that?
Nope.
Great. All right, let's move forward. Let's talk about the End Storage Center update on mobility management facilitation program. That was tough to read.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the local coordinating board. My name is Corinne Ferguson. I'm with Ann Storch Center. I'm the regional mobility manager, and with me I have Danielle McGill, who is a policy leadership fellow. She'll talk a little bit about her project shortly. But today I'd like to give an update on the project and where we are as it relates to the mobility management facilitation program. As Lou and Chad have spoken earlier, we are working very closely with Comtrans Connection. Just to let you know that we have recently branded our project, which is now called a Community Transportation Connection, Enhancing Mobility for Every Ability. We believe this will be a great message to share with the individuals in our community, especially those who we are working with, to tell them about the program, as well as forging partnerships with individuals and agencies that have transportation options that will be a part of the overall effort. And we're looking to enhance mobility for those individuals that are going to be served or are currently being served so that they can have safer system access. So the overview today I'll give you is basically on the preliminary questionnaire that we have created, the end user transportation questionnaire, as well as some update from FDOT, Regional Human Services Transportation Summit. And as I mentioned before, Ms. General McGill will give us an overview on her project. This is called A Ride Away. This project is so aptly named because the services that we're looking to provide the individual will hopefully be a ride away. So, just to let you know, we're at phase one of the project. We're in our infancy. And we're hoping that with the help of the agency that this will be done very well. At the request of FDOT, we are implementing this particular questionnaire to allow us to target agency, the Human Services Organization in Palm Beach County, and to look at their transportation capacity, as well as the need of these organizations here in Palm Beach County. With the questionnaire, just to give a little backdrop, we initially first started out looking at individuals with disabilities as well as seniors. Now, with the emphasis from FDOT, we're now focusing on the transportation disadvantaged across the board. The scope has expanded to include these different individuals that were listed here, as well as others that we have not readily defined as yet. So, in Palm Beach County, we have identified over 2,000 human services organizations here in Palm Beach County. We believe by targeting those groups, we'll be able to definitely get a good cross-section of input from the various groups. So the questionnaire will look at their transportation assets as it relates to the services that they have, as well as the needs, the service areas and boundaries that they work within, and also to see if they are willing to participate in what we call a coordinated system. What we will end up doing in the end is to create a resource tool that will show a GIS mapping of all the different agencies that are here in Palm Beach County, where they're located, the kind of asset they have available, and the possibility of them participating in a coordinated network and becoming a part of the network of service providers. The questionnaire that we have created will be available in Google Forms, so they can go online and complete the survey online. And this will enable us to be able to better analyze the data
And as well, the information, the questionnaire will be provided in English, Spanish, Creole, and Portuguese. And also, we made it available for individuals that are visually impaired that would like assistance. We would have an 800 number available to assist them. Now, in addition to the preliminary questionnaire, we have put together an end-user transportation questionnaire. This particular questionnaire will help us target the end users of the system, those who currently use the transportation services, and those who are interested in taking a public transportation system, and to see what is their opinion of the system, how can we help them improve upon the options that are available. In the end, what we'll end up doing will be cross-referencing the information that we have gathered from both the human services organization as well as from the end users, look at the common gaps in services, and look at the theme that we're developing from their responses, and to see how we can best analyze the data for a better solution. Again, this is available in English, Spanish, Creole, and English, okay. And also available for individuals who are visually impaired. They can contact us through that 800 number. So what we're asking today, we're encouraging our community partners like yourself to help us get the word out, have them complete the information, also to help the information shared with other individuals and agencies that you have connection with, other network groups that you have a relationship with, so we can build a better data set. And on top of that, we want to keep in touch with you so that we can keep you abreast of all the things that we're doing, and also to give you an update as to what we're having coming up next, such as the FDOT, Regional Human Services Transportation Summit. So, for those who are familiar with the Batman signal, what's up? This is our way of saying help. We need your help. We need your input. We need your support. We need you to help us get the information out to different partners in the community. We will use the various types of medium, social media, if you have available. We'll go through your website. Also have them email blast through your newsletters of your various agencies or individuals that you know that you can reach out to. We cannot do this effort without you. We need your help to make this happen. So those are the options we have available. As you can see, this is our website. What we have decided to do, in addition to putting the survey on our website, we have incentivized the survey so that individuals from various agencies can participate, and you'll have a drawing for those who participate, and they will be able to be one of our lucky, randomly selected winner of our annual Celebrity Chef Food Tasting Auction coming up in October. The drawing will be done on September the 6th. What a great way to get people to fill out a survey. Get them with some food. So we're asking everyone to really help us along. Just to give a little overview on the upcoming Regional Human Services Transportation Summit, this is an effort that was done back in 2012 by FDOT. Some of you were at that event that was held in Boca Raton at AU campus. We had 120 attendees, and it was across seven counties. At the time, we had FDOT, several local coordinated members, as well as government officials in at that event. And we also are looking at the same focus as they had in the past, regional coordination. This is a big concern then, and is a big concern now. So a part of our preliminary questionnaire have some questions that will focus on the same issues that they have experienced back then. And we are putting those as part of our preliminary questionnaire, so with the agencies that fill out the survey will also check off for those particular areas. Once they identify them and we collect them, FDOT will in turn identify speakers and experts in their field to come in and present on those topics. At this time, I'd like to introduce to you Ms. Daniel McGill, a Policy Leadership Fellow. She is a member of our Community Transportation Connection team. She comes to us by Senator Garcia's office. She is one of the architects of one of the Senate Bill 1086 that were inter-county transportation coordination. and she will be sharing with you information about her project. It's called Ride Away.
Hello, everyone. As mentioned before, I'm part of the Community Transportation Connection team at the Ann Sports Center. And my role as a Policy Leadership Fellow was created by the Self-Advocacy Resource and Technical Assistance Center. It's a nonprofit organization with the mission to encourage and encourage self-advocacy for individuals with developmental disabilities to become leaders in their state or county across the U.S. They developed a leadership fellowship program where six individuals nationwide had to develop a project that deals with disability issues for people with developmental disabilities. And I was one of the ones chosen. And my project is called The Right Away. It's a year-long project, and my job is to encourage and educate individuals with developmental disabilities as well as with transportation disadvantage to use different modes of transportation in Palm Beach and Broward County. That's my focus area. And to accomplish this project, my efforts will be to develop a training tool called a Right Away Guide that will help individuals with developmental disabilities learn how to travel safely, learn how to use the transportation services step by step. It will also provide information on safety apps as well and how to become their own self-advocate. Secondly, I am also creating a Rider Insider Transit Diary, which will allow me to explain my experiences and share from the perspective of a rider when I travel these services, so that they can hopefully be inspired to try the services themselves. Third, I'm going to be talking to community stakeholders, and like yourself as well, the local board, to try to get them to reach out to agencies to fill out an end user survey, as well as our focus groups, so we can identify the barriers and try to find resources that will help them make their travel much easier and smoother. I also will be interacting with riders and transportation users in Palm Beach and Broward County by using Facebook, Twitter, and a blog, so that they can have a voice and share their experiences with me. And I will be presenting my project, hopefully during the Transportation Disadvantage Legislative Day, as well as the National Self-Advocacy Resource Conference in Alabama that's held every year in May. So that's what my project is about, and I appreciate you taking the time to hear us. And if you want to find out more information, please go to our website and Facebook, or by Twitter, to see how my project is developing throughout the year. And if you have any questions, I'm so free to ask at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Well, thank you for that presentation. I like it. But I still like to know more about the GIS part. So, you don't need, I mean, if you can just do it briefly, but I want to see the information besides hear it.
And I agree. Thank you very much, sir. I'll give you an example. Right now, we have been assigned to a steering committee to a company called Prime Time. They're through the Children and Services Council. It's a subcommittee that's working on transportation challenges of students who go to after-school programs. I think it's called the MOST program. I'm not quite familiar with the program, but maybe Lee can help me a little bit. And what is happening is that they are experiencing transportation challenges as well themselves. So what we're doing is collecting all the different schools that are having after-school programs. A GIS map will be created of all the different schools according to where they're located. And then we'll just compile the transit system, basically, and identified along those corridors where they can potentially look at public transit as an option versus paratransit, whether they are traveling or not.
Okay, so what we're not talking about is static maps. We're talking about interactive, live,
yes.
Updated, by the minute. Situations. That's something that I think our department could use also.
Yes.
It, or platform it or position it.
That is correct.
I will say the chair will enjoy this. They, especially Corinne, he pushes everyone on fixed route first. Can you write fixed route first? She said it right.
Yeah.
He pushes it instead of paratransit. And just quickly on the after school thing. Another big problem with the schools, for those that have disabilities, there really isn't much opportunity for after-school activity or after-school opportunities, we'll call it. So they're just supposed to go home. You know, what can we do to help them out and then get them home after they finish school?
My question to Mr. Quinscale is there a redundancy in the data capture that's being done by the Stork Center versus what we're doing with PalmTran, or are we using each other's facilities to capture more data, or is it just sort of we're both doing the same?
You said which center?
Yeah.
There could be better collaboration. There's probably some redundancy. There's a little overlap, but there's also some errors that are not captured by both.
Okay.
But I think there can be better coordination.
Okay.
I think we're going to work on that.
I'm listening to what's going on there, and I think that we're both working in that same pool, and sometimes it was closer collaboration.
I was thinking that while I was hearing, and I think in the future we're going to sit down and actually figure ways to actually, you know, create some synergy and try to work together so that we're not duplicating that.
Great. Great. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes.
Would you be able to get the website for the ANSERT Center and then the Facebook and the web, your website as well? Yep.
The ANSERT Center's Mobility Management Education Program website is up. As far as the blog, it will be up in about a week, I would say. My Facebook is up, my Twitter is up, even a YouTube channel, so that we could create training videos through visual and to show them how to use the service visually as well. Because the more you interact, the more you educate people like myself that use paratransit, they will feel safer using the other transportation services. Because me, as a paratransit rider, I hear all of your concerns, and I agree with every one of them. And I've been using Uber and Lyft myself and a community bus because I was able to learn how the system works, how the service works. And that made me feel safer because I have cerebral palsy and I have seizures. That's why I take paratransit. But I'm also more mobile to when I try different things. When I go like to the airport, I take Uber instead of paratransit because of the pickup window. Or if something is locally nearby, like the grocery store, I tend to want to use the community bus. So if they know that there's more options in how it works, you will see an increase of ridership among the other transportation services if they get proper travel training and education. So,
mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm really interested in the Rider Insider. I was asking, like, what is your Facebook profile? What do we look up to so we can follow you?
A Right Away Project.
A Right Away Project?
Or ASP, Rider Insider.
Okay. And for the survey, which website do we go to? Website. Okay. Great. Thank you.
We can send it out to everyone as well.
Yes, I think that would be great. You had a question?
Just real quick, I just want to recognize Ms. McGill. She's actually on the task force, the transportation that I spoke of. So she's actually on that task force as well. She was up in Tallahassee with me. She did a great job speaking up there. So.
Yeah, that was a great presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We have, let's look at the cards so that we can... I think we have one card from Mitchell?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. 3 minutes.
Everyone.
Identify yourself, please.
Yes, Carmen Cedar Mitchell, who's raising. Just a quick comment question, some of which was, I think, answered at the end about the charter schools. Board Member Rothman, who had to leave, was asking why the school board doesn't have some sort of responsibility. So I think that's the part that might have been answered. I myself am unfamiliar with the rules for charter schools, but my question was, is there any chance that they may be eligible for some of the services from the Anstorff Center? Like are they the ones that do the 5310 grant, if I'm not mistaken? Is that them?
No. Anstorff does have some 5310 money, but actually Anstorff is located in Broward County.
Okay.
Yeah, out west, so they don't provide transportation in Palm Beach County yet.
And the second part, which is a comment that I hope I'm not restating the obvious, but, you know, as far as delegating the children from the charter schools away from Palm Tran, you know, whatever meeting you have, it might be wise to sort of warn them that, you know, last time we looked at the last meeting, the safety for the unavoidable and avoidable accidents was so stellar. Well, having 6 children on board with 1 PCA or no PCA who may be autistic is a safety risk for the passengers and the driver of Palm Tran. And if something were to happen, it would be the parents of those children who'd be the first ones to file a lawsuit against Palm Tran. So I would think that that would be one of the main issues to delegate the, you know, elsewhere, or at least in a minimum, or at a minimum, have a PCA, because I've been on Palm Tran for a length of time going out west with unaccompanied autistic children, fortunately, who were okay, but that isn't going to always be the case. So, as I said, I hope I'm not stating the obvious, but that was just an observation I thought of while I was waiting.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank
you. Okay. You wanted to go over the MPO calendar?
Sure. We had a handout here at the front desk, and I think we can pull it up. Just an overview of all of our committee meetings for this fiscal year, just as a FYI, so everyone's aware, and if they'd like, anyone's welcome to come and attend any of these. So we just wanted.
I'll come.
So we just wanted to bring that to the meeting, just to let everyone know, since we've started a new fiscal year.
Very good. Yes, sir.
It's just a very technical thing. I had 2 phone calls in the last 2 weeks about the Citizens Advisory Committee, and I had no idea what the heck they were talking about. And it was dealing with transportation. I thought they were talking about my committee. So our committee is called the Citizens Advisory Committee on Health and Human Services. I noticed on this document that it says CAC. I found out that there's over 16 CACs in the county. So I think that we need to clarify that on this document to say it's a CAC on
MPOCAC.
MPO or whatever it is.
Yeah, 3 more letters.
All right, because I was like going, I don't have anything to do with transportation. Call you guys or call whoever. But I'm getting the phone calls. All right, so now I understand some of the other CACs that have called me. But just a little side note, if we could change that.
That's all right. And the MPO is changing. It's going to be a TPO, not an MPO. TPA, okay. I knew there was a T in there somewhere. All right, terrific. Okay, member comments. We'll go down the line. Do you have a comment?
CEA. As you know, and as Karen mentioned, we FZOT is holding a summit, Women's Services Summit, at the beginning of 2018. We are asking for everybody participation, especially the MPOs. I know I reached out to the MPOs last week or 2 weeks ago. And we also looking for the CTC to participate. So we're looking for you guys to keep the word out. We are looking for venues right now. Unfortunately, I thought we were going to be able to pay for a venue, but I learned yesterday we don't have the funds for it. So anyone who knows of any free venue, feel free to let us know.
The executive director of the MPO has already left, so we'll communicate that to him.
Would it be DOT District 4 has like a large venue where they do trainings? Is that too small for this type of event?
We have the auditorium, which is too small for what we are looking at.
Mm-hmm. What number of people are you looking
for? We are shooting for about 200 people. And we're looking for breaking groups also, so the auditorium won't be able to accommodate that.
Have you looked at the South County Civic Center? That might be a venue that might make sense for you.
We tried them already. And they're
$6,500. Okay. Thank you. Mike, do you have a comment?
No, the only thing I was interested in is how the fencing on the pond is doing.
Do we have a response to that?
Yes. The gaming reason or the guidance is saying the same.
I have a feeling the schools are, charter schools are not helping us.
Well, the on-time performance for the month of July dropped due to the implementation of our new map and some of that. So we were at an 89 in June, we're at an 85 in July. And then complaints are staying consistent. I think it's still, do you have 2.64 per 1,000 completed trips. And that's all complaints, it's not valid. That's just all complaints, everything in one. So that looks like, you know, things are staying consistent. But on time performance, like I said, we took a drop. We were 89 in June, and then July we were 85, and so we're hoping that we can come out of where we're at in August. But it has been rough in the month of August because of the schools and the startups.
Charter schools are creating a real degradation.
Yes, yes. What's happening is because these are all during peak. All these trips are right in the peak time, and they are tying up our buses. And it is impossible. Every morning we come in, and we are just battling with trying to get these. And so some of that is one of the questions that I'm working on and really looking at. Is it a load time factor? Do we need to adjust that? But if I span that out, it's less trips that I can take during those times. You know, we're trying to trip negotiate outside of those windows. But once again, we're not denying trips. So it creates a real hardship on the agency and on everyone else, you know, everyone who gets caught into the school trips now. And especially now that we're sending buses up to L's that we didn't have before. And those are long trips.
It's a big county.
It's a very big county, and so it's not where we want it to be, and we're trying to figure out and also look at, you know, other services. You know,
obviously you have finite sources.
Yep.
When does it top out? When do you get to the point where you have to deny service? Or can you?
We can't deny service, so we continue to have, you know, poor on-time performance, and at some point we either have to look at that we need to increase, which means more vehicles, or once again it's what we're really looking at is partnering with the TNCs, taxis, and looking for some sort of relief to relieve the pressure valve. And so that has been something that we're really focused on, trying to figure out what a pilot project's going to look like so that we can move that forward.
No, it's really unfair to the other individual riders. In the wake of them further down, the way he's upset with Barney and all the others. The exclusion of the think it was solely for the exclusion of the schools that they're dealing with.
Correct. Correct.
Excited to announce on I've been working with Roseanne Voiles from PalmTran, and on Saturday, September 30th, we're going to do a Train the Trainer, where we're going to be training charter and public school teachers that work with the Exceptional Student Education and Career Pathways Program. This is what they're teaching these students is how to use the public bus system. And it's pretty in-depth. I mean, a lot of this is very one-on-one training where they'll work with the student on Google Maps first, and then they'll actually see the street view to get them accustomed. And they work with those individual students. Then they'll ride the bus with them as many times as they need to feel comfortable. Then they'll actually follow them in their car, you know, with the bus, you know, until they feel they've gotten it. And then at that point, the students, throughout their different abilities, will be able to use the public bus system, and instead of then only using PalmTran Connection. It's for 100 teachers that we're expecting on the 30th, and this is going to affect roughly about 400 public and private school students. One success is that we did get PalmTran to work with us to provide some type of pass, so the teachers will now have ability, they don't have to pay for a pass to be this travel trainer. But one thing that I'm encouraging, and I'm looking to PalmTran staff, is this really will help in the long run reduce the amount of PalmTran connection trips that we have. And so we want to see what we can do to most easily get these students to use the bus. And what one of the drawbacks is that they're having to sign up for essentially PalmTran Connection, having to go to a doctor, having to, you know, disclose income information, where I really would like to see a more simplified form. But with the simplified form, all it would do would be entitle them to bus passes while they're a student going, and it has to be, you know, through these classes that they're being travel trained in. Because that's one of the issues that we're getting the biggest feedback from, is that some of the parents and the children aren't signing up for the PalmTran Connection to then order to get the free bus pass. So if we could do a simplified form, we try to see if the nurses could sign the forms, but the nurses won't sign the forms for them. And since they already have gotten in their exceptional learning plan that they have these types of disabilities, we can already see that they would qualify for it. So why make them go through the second step? And again, this would only be so that they would get a PalmTran bus pass. If they then wanted to access the more expensive full PalmTran Connection service, they'd have to fill out the full application. So I'm just encouraging PalmTran to work with Roseanne to see if we can have that done. And then the next comment was regarding the charter schools. Are we able to make an internal rule that our PalmTran Connection vehicles do not go into bus loops or school loops? So that way we have a rule that we could point to these charter schools. Look, we're happy through ADA, pick up anybody at any address, but our internal rules say that we don't go into these facilities that are gonna, you know, really reduce our time. Just as when you go to the airport, they have Uber lots, you know, where if you wanna get an Uber, you go to this section. So just a thought that it might be something where we could kind of work around and work with the school system, where then they have to work with us, where we have a certain designated point that we could pick up students from, instead of having to put county vehicles through the whole bus loops or parent system. So thank you.
Dolly, did you have a comment?
The only thing I have with respect to that last comment is there's been new guidance that we have to follow with regard to people making reasonable modification requests to the service. And the ADA has given us guidance on 28 different, what they define as reasonable modifications. And one of them has to do with just that. If you recall, many, many years ago, we used to have common locations at the shopping malls and airports and things like that. They've since rescinded that type of a policy, in that unless we can identify a safety issue with where the passenger may want to alight or board the bus,
we need to comply with that request. So I don't know, with respect to the bus loop policy, if that might be infringing upon that guidance from the FDA.
It seems like be logical, and certainly I think everything you're talking about, especially giving those free passes, I mean, that's certainly to our advantage to get those kids onto the fixed route wherever we can. So anything we can do to expedite that financial disclosure would certainly be helpful. Any comments? You get the last word.
Yes, I would like to say thank you, staff. This is I think was one of the best meetings I've ever attended. So thank you for the agenda, and also the members of the public who have provided the input and their words of wisdom. I wish more of the board members were here today, because I think I learned a lot. All right, I learned about some of these other issues that I had no idea about, all right, but it affects not only our recommendations, but what our outcomes are, our collaboration and our partnerships. And, this last presentation, it really got me thinking about all these other issues that I'm involved with personally. And I know that I have an indicator report that deals with health and human services. And one of the ones that Commissioner Burdick periodically brings up is 90% of the developmentally disabled are sexually and physically abused. 80% have parents who end up in divorce. I like to add statistics in their information about what's happening for developmentally disabled as far as transportation or what type of they're using or they're not using, because when they're making these financial decisions as a county commissioner, they're going to have that information. They're going to say, and who up here is not going to fund this? All right? They want to be reappointed. They're going to be, who's going to go and say, no, we're not going to fund this? Or I encourage everybody to have their child on a bus for 3 hours. It takes me 15 minutes to get home, but it takes the child a half hour or, 3 hours. And the last comment is, perhaps we should consider extending the public comment minutes from 3 minutes to perhaps 4 minutes if there's not a lot on our agenda. That's all.
Very good. And I will take that point. And I think we've been flexible. And I think Mr. Voice will have to admit that we generally give him a great deal of leeway on his conversations. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, October 18th, same bat place, same bat station. And with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn. Second? Okay. Thank you very much.